variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here, so much more importantly, the author, the novelist, the wife, the mother, the educator, a little bit of everything. She is a dancer and, of course, radio show host, Renaissance woman. MelissaIteldurin.com is a place you can go and see the documentary. And keep tuned right here, and we'll let you know where you can see more and additions. But binge listen to everything that we've been doing on iHeartRadio.com and a whole bunch of other places. And Melissa, how are you?
I'm great, Frank. How are you?
Doing well. And again, the field narrows a little bit, right? I mean, a couple people, our senator here in New York decided to drop out, and it's Kirsten Gillibrand,
did.
And she left, and our mayor, New York City's mayor, is still there, right?
He's hanging in at 0%.
Why not? Listen, he might as well. I don't know what his other options are. You know, he's term limited, right? He can't run for
right. He has nothing else to do.
He's done all the damage he could possibly do to New York City, and you know, now he's looking for wider avenues to hurt. I'm kidding. I'm sure he's got his followers there, but he's it has narrowed. How much has it narrowed? And what did the last debate look like to you?
Well, the last debate was a climate change theme, and they didn't have everybody there. I don't believe Joe Biden was there. They tried to cover three candidates, Elizabeth Warren, our friend Beto O'Rourke, Mayor Pete from South Bend, Indiana, and last but not least, Cory Booker.
Wow.
Yeah.
And who do you think stood out in this climate debate discussion?
Well, I'll say that Elizabeth Warren tried to be all encompassing, but it was all about how much money. It was as though, what was it, $70 million or something that she was proposing? It didn't seem quite enough as she was trying to impress upon her audience. And Beto was just giving this whole dissertation on climate change, and every time people asked him questions, simple questions like, you know, how do we make air conditioning more affordable for lower income people, he would go on and say, it's all climate change, it's the fault of climate change. Well, what, it's really not. People have been using air conditioning for years now because it's just too hot in the summer. I mean, that's a fact of life. It was hot 50 years ago in the summer. It was hot 60 years ago in the summer. They just didn't have air conditioning until much later. So they, you know, it's regardless of climate change, it's going to be damn hot.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I understand climate change. I mean, I shouldn't say I understand. I understand it. It's an issue. It's a real issue. But I mean, when you talk to AOC or someone like that, right, they want to stop planes from flying in the air because of climate change and different things and the environment. So it's become real sexy to say climate change for everything. That's the answer to everything. Climate change, climate change. Hey, look, we know climate change is an issue. We know. I mean, I'm not like Scott Pruitt, right, where he's, you know, what's Scott Pruitt? He's the, is he still there? The EPA chair?
Oh, no, he was banished for using private jets and other things.
Okay, but he for a while was there, and he was saying, "Oh, climate change, you know, shmimate change." You know, he was he was downplaying it, and that's a mistake, right? You know, to be like that, but also to pull it out like it's a weapon every single time, or just a quick answer, quick fix. It's like climate change, and you know, and I guess some people that are sheep like will just say, oh, they're right. Yeah, that is climate change or whatever. You know, I don't know that we're getting the straight answer on climate change from any of these people. And again, Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell Duran once again, and binge listen to everything that we're doing here, iHeartRadio.com, and go there and go to MelissaIteldurin.com. Check out the documentary. But who out of everybody would you say is... you know, even if they weren't in debate, who looks like the go-to person on climate change? Who looks like they have the best answers? It's not Joe Biden, right? He's just kind of the safe, Uncle Joe type thing. Nobody looks at him like he has all the answers. But who do they look to for climate change as far as the answers go? Who do you think?
Among all of them, or just the people we saw that night?
Yeah, among all of them. Who's the queen or the king of climate change?
King. I think that title belongs to a few people. Definitely Beto.
Yeah.
Everything is climate change. How do you make air conditioning more affordable? It's the fault of climate change. And as president, I will do A, B, C, and D to rectify climate change. Mayor Pete, this is the biggest battle since World War II. That's another thing.
Wow.
Now, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Talk to any living veteran of World War II or anyone who was alive then. I think that person may beg to differ with you, Mayor Pete. I think these people are going overboard in their comparisons. This is not the same thing as World War II, please. And we could lose really big. Worst, I don't know about that. World War II, we had Hitler and some other maniacal, diabolical, terrible people who wanted to take over the world, exterminate in one particular case, exterminate a whole people because of religious and ethnic and his own personal wacko ideas, racist ideas, and at the same time maybe annihilate the United States, and another power who wanted to dictate peace in Washington, and maybe if they had the bomb, nuke us. I think it's a little bit different.
I think Mayor Pete needs.
So this is all hyperbole and exaggeration to the max. And I think this is where it just goes off the deep end with these candidates. So I think Elizabeth Warren didn't go as far to say that, but Beto, he was pretty close, and Mayor Pete just went out and said it full out. And they're doing anything possible to pontificate and to impress, and they're not actually, especially Beto, they're not actually answering the questions that people are posing. This is most of all with Beto, because he's desperate. He can talk a good game, but he has no substance.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think Mayor Pete, and I like him, I respect him, he speaks seven languages, he seems like his heart's in the right place, but I think Mayor Pete needs a history lesson, and I'm not sure that you compare anything to World War II, and again, we don't know what the effects of climate change are going to be. I think Bloomberg, right, the former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg, and of course, billionaire, multi-billionaire, I think he had a good explanation on climate change, and I think it makes a lot of sense to say that. He said, we don't know for sure what's going on with it. Now, this is a while ago, he said this. We don't know for sure what's going on with climate change, but there's two theories. One is, okay, we overreacted to it, like if that happens. And then the other is catastrophic if we don't do something about it. I don't know. We're in charge of civilization here. Why don't we... and I'm paraphrasing, of course. Why don't we err on the side of caution? And I thought that was a pretty good answer on the issue of climate change and global warming and so forth. And we don't hear a lot of that from other people. And again, Beto, I got a quick point on Beto. I wanted to share with you. I almost texted you, but he was on CNN, and he dropped the F-bomb a couple of times. I don't know. He's starting to do this, and he's saying it's effed up, is what he's saying. Yeah, it's effed up, and I was like, and I had to rewind it a couple of times to make sure, and they're kind of letting him do it, and my wife said to me, it's an issue. Some people have brought it up, so he knows he's doing it, and I think the reason he's doing it. And I'm trying to think of what the issue was shootings, the shootings, which he's right, it's effed up or whatever. But he's saying it. And I think what he's doing, he's got to figure, look, I've got 0% or 1% or whatever the hell I got. I have very, very little. And I am I'm way behind. Let me start cursing. Let me get a little attention. Let me get some controversy. And then the young people are going to say, well, he's right. He is. He's talking the truth here. And I know there was just a study, and I don't, you know, Beto might be the type that just follows every study and he takes it to the letter of the law. But there was some study done, and I think it was at Harvard or Yale, that people that curse, that people that you hear curse are more trustworthy. And they did a study, you know, on this, and it was a pretty big study or whatever. And the reason they gave is that they're more real. They're trying to hide less if you hear them curse. Now, that doesn't mean somebody with a filthy mouth saying all the, you know, the worst words in the world. But they're basically saying people who will curse, you know, in regular conversation and not apologize or not stop themselves will be more likely to tell you the truth. So I think, and this is just a theory, I don't know this, but I think Beto saw that study and said, you know, what do I got to lose? F this, F that. It's, you know.
Oh, my God. And, yeah, that's the sign of a desperate candidate.
Yeah, right. So Beto, yeah, I mean, Google it. You know, Beto saying the F word. He says it a lot. I mean, he was saying it on CNN, and I can't believe that they let it go through. I mean, if you curse on terrestrial radio, it's a $5,000 fine. You know, even inadvertently, somebody curses. It's like, and they hear it, and it's a $5,000 fine for a local radio station. I don't know what it is nationally, and do you times it by all the market, and CNN. So CNN gets away with Beto saying F, and I think he's doing it by design, to be honest with you. I mean, he's not. It's not a mistake. He's not, you know, just slipping and saying this. Anyway, Frank McKay here. Go to MelissaEiteljuren.com. You won't hear a curse there. She's very proud. She's a lady. You're not going to hear a curse. But if you want to hear some real good cursing, look up Beto O'Rourke and cursing, and I'm sure it'll be all over the place. Quick thought on that, right? He read that study. This has to be, and he figures, I need attention. Let me start doing this. I'll be the cursing candidate.
Oh my God, he did it now, and this wasn't filtered out.
Nope. It just just right there, CNN morning show too, morning show.
Oh my, and were the hosts kind of taken aback by this?
Not at all. It was just like no problem. You know, Beto wants to curse. Beto can curse. We're not. You know, if it was Trump or if it was even Marco Rubio, they'd be like, wow, this is outrageous. You know, these people just cursing when they want.
I know.
Yeah, but Beto, he's fed up, and it was an emotional thing. I don't want to downplay. He's right. It is effed up. You know, it's just I don't think I would use those words, in public. But the Democrats, even the one said, we're going to effing get that bastard or something like that, right? She said that to a five-year-old, didn't she? Who was that? Was that one of Tlaib or somebody? Who said it early?
Oh, Tlaib. Yeah. Tlaib said it, yes. And she said, I think she said that she told her son, her 10-year-old son,
yeah.
And the crowd was going wild.
Yeah.
Let's get the you know what.
Yeah. Yeah,
well,
right.
I guess, yeah, the new standards today, you know, they let a few words like that slip by and for the effect. And if, yes, it depends who it's coming from.
Yeah, right. If they like the person, then it's there. Still nothing out of the squad about who they're leaning towards, right? I guess the candidates, when they get whittled down, then they're going to start, they're going to start trying to make their presence known and do that. But we have no idea who the squad, or at least Tlaib and Omar, do we have any idea who they would like out of this whole crew?
I don't know. I don't think they've made their preferences known as AOC hasn't either. You know, AOC, by the way, is another one who makes these grandiose comparisons. You know, she said that the detention centers are bad. They are horrible. And these poor people are living in squalor, waiting to go somewhere, but she calls them concentration camps. And there's a lot of this. It's very questionable with her terminology. You know, especially for people who've survived the camps. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable, beyond imagination, and it is horrendous, and it is the fault. I'm blaming both parties. I'm blaming Congress. I'm blaming the administration. I'm blaming everybody there for letting this happen, because it's you know, the Republicans are saying, well, where's the money to do this, and the Democrats are not going ahead and pushing forth the money. They're not doing enough. They're just, you know, sparring with each other. But to say it's like the Holocaust, it's a Nazi concentration camp, I think that's going a little too far, and it's dishonoring, you know, the memory of those who perished, and those who had to go through nightmarish conditions, those survivors who are still with us, who have nightmares all the time, and saw their loved ones being sent to the ovens. It's not quite there, but you know, AOC, like Beto, tend to make these extreme comparisons for the effect.
Yeah, no doubt. One of the things as a rule, that there's got to be a couple things in this world that are sacred. The Holocaust is sacred. Right, you don't compare anything to the Holocaust unless it's another Holocaust, right? And the other thing is 9/11, right? You know, very, and we're sensitive to it because we're right here, and I think you got to compare, like people have to compare. And again, when they talk about the shootings, yeah, careful with 9/11 because that's 3,000 people, but the Holocaust is 6 million people. And again, I know we say this a lot, but 6 million people, I mean, there are countries that don't have that many people. There are states that don't even have close to that many people. Again, Holocaust is the genocide of a people, a particular people, chosen by some maniac or maniacs to distinguish from the world and to exterminate. All right. So the thing is, there's nothing in my mind that you should compare to the Holocaust, unless it's another Holocaust. Look, you want to make an argument, and again, I don't know the numbers, but if you want to make a comparison to, like, what happened to the Native Americans, American Indians, that, when people gave them blankets with smallpox and whatever. Okay, you want to get into that and start showing statistics. Okay, there's an argument to be made. But the Holocaust stands alone in my mind, and politicians should stay away from. If you're going to talk about the Holocaust, boy, you better be as respectful as you can, and don't flippantly say this is like the Holocaust or this is like the Holocaust. Melissa, iteljuren.com, everyone, go there. But your thoughts on that, right? There's just certain things that you don't compare the Holocaust.
That are off limits, and I think that's, you know, because you want to score some political points, don't denigrate the severity or the sanctity of those places. I mean, they're standing there for a reason. They're museums to educate people, to enlighten people as to what could happen if the wrong governments get into power, and to show that life is very precious and that people can't be thrown away, lives can't be thrown away because of religious and cultural differences and the maniacal yearnings of some egomaniac, and we have to protect against that, and that's why we have the Holocaust Museum in Washington and elsewhere, and we have the memorials that you can tour in Europe for the actual grounds of Auschwitz and the other concentration camps. And yes, the conditions are horrible. They are deplorable. But I wouldn't go as far to say that they're concentration camps. I don't know what and I don't know how accurate AOC's description about certain things such as sanitary conditions and public plumbing and public hygiene and whatnot. I don't know. She say she had some. She had a tiff with some of the guards and may have exaggerated. I mean, they are horrible, no doubt. I've read a lot of things, but I I think you have to use choice words in the matter, especially if you're a public official, because that casts a very dubious light on what you're saying. I mean, what points are you trying to make here, and what are you doing about it? Or you just want a photo op for yourself, and it's exactly what went on in CNN the other night with these people, these candidates drawing conclusions that, oh, this is the biggest battle in our lifetime, bigger than World War II. I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know about that. Right. No. Talk to some of the few of the surviving World War II veterans. See if they'll agree with you. I don't think so. They saw action right there, and it really changed them. And they'll tell you which was bigger.
Yeah, no doubt. And, again, watch your language, guys. You know, whether it's Beto cursing or it's AOC talking about the concentration camps. And again, concentration camps, when I think concentration camps, I'm thinking a place that they're preparing these people to be exterminated, right? That's not what's happening at these other places. And again, the conditions, I'm sure, are horrible. We've got to take it seriously. Just watch for the overreactions, guys. Melissa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Frank.
I'm sure you and I both want to thank everyone for tuning in each and every week.
Yes, absolutely.
And everyone, go to melissaiteljuren.com. And go to iHeartRadio.com and binge listen to everything that we've been doing. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you next time on the Melissa Itell Juren Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell Juren and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.